about in the men's meeting. And I want to give everybody first some advice, take it or leave it. I did something this week, in the past, especially this past week, and this weekend that I shouldn't have done. Well, nothing really bad, but I was seeking the Lord, and I got to noticing, I don't know if I told everybody, I took Facebook off my phone. I don't have it as a distraction, or I didn't, for about 3 weeks. Well, that one big distraction out of my life freed up some time, and yes, I used that time wisely and talked to the Lord, read my Bible. Well, this past week, guess what I did? I put it back on. Guess what happened? Nothing. Absolutely, spiritually, almost nothing. To add that distraction, and you know what happened? The devil used Ephesians 4:27 on me. And I'm not bragging about this by no means. I'm just throwing it out there for you. We've been hearing some really good scripture about the Word. Well, I got in that thorny ground, and it can happen to anybody. But I just want to give you a little, you know, advice. Be careful. Be on guard. Because when I did that, I thought, oh, you know, I'm not going to be on it like I was. And I wasn't. But you had that with all the other stuff. And I mean, I let the devil just pour everything. That I let everything distract me that I usually do, that I don't let distract me. So in doing that, it choked out the Word out of my life almost this week. Not completely, but compared to what I had been. So yesterday, I repented and I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I want to go back like Brother Scotty said. I don't want that. I want to go back like I was. So I got before the Lord, and the way I found out about this is I was seeking the Lord what I needed to do this morning, seeking the Lord, and nothing was happening. So when I repented and asked the Lord, when the Holy Spirit guided me what to do, and I repented, the Lord said, use what I'll give you, and just go with that. The last thing he gave me was Psalms 127. And I spoke about it at the men's meeting, and I'm going to speak about it today. And more, I want everybody to understand, more than anybody else, I'm speaking to myself than I am anybody else today, because I slipped a little bit, and I'm not proud of it, because I've made my words out known. You know, no matter what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I will. But if you're not real careful, the enemy ain't got no new tricks. He's just real good at the ones he does. He ain't got no power and authority. He didn't make me do this. I decided to do it. I let my flesh put me on thorny ground. I don't want to be there. I want to be on good ground. I want to produce some fruit. And this morning, I want to talk about that in the nature of Psalms 127, in the context of it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 127. And I'm going to read this first in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Psalms 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth, talking about God, his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Talking about man. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now I want to read it in the Amplified Version. Unless the Lord builds the city, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to retire late and to eat the bread of anxious labors. For he, God, gives blessing to his beloved, even in his, man, sleep. So that last sentence would say, for God gives blessing to his beloved, even in the sleep of his children. Behold, the children are a heritage and a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed, happy, and fortunate is the man whose quiver is filled with them. They will not be ashamed, when they speak with their enemies in the gatherings at the city gate. Now, it is, some people might say it's weird, it's funny, it's whatever, it's odd. It's not. What happened to me was I spoke about this and I let it get in my heart and then I let something choke it down some. But it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it in vain. In the Bible, most of the time when it talks about a house, it's talking about, especially when it concerns mankind, it talks about his family. Joshua 24:15 said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was talking about his family, the people he's responsible for. This is going to be guided at, some of it's going to be at us men, but it is good for all of us as born-again Christians. If you're building your house, dad and mom, and you don't have the Lord helping you build it, and you're not building it godly in God's ways and God's word, you're building in vain. Now, I looked up in the Strong's Concordance that phrase in vain. When I got finished running the references on it, there was a few of them. It means first, without God in this scripture, and in context, in the words in vain means without successful results. So if we read that scripture according to the definitions, unless you build the house in the Lord, you build without successful results. And I believe it's in Matthew chapter 4, I'm not sure. The two men that built the house, one of his own rock, one of his own sand. It's not hard from that parable to decide which one was built upon the rock. It's the Lord, it's God, it's his word. Well, I live my life ever since I got born again to build upon God's word, to build my house, my family upon God's word. But I'm a man and I make mistakes. And I made a mistake and I asked the Lord to repent. I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me. If you ever do make a mistake, that's the number one thing, is to know that you've made one. And number two is to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen no more. And all within my power, it's not going to happen anymore. Because I just don't want to go down that road. I've been out there in the world. Most of us have. I've been out there and built I didn't have a family at the time, but I built on me what I wanted, on the flesh, on what the world wanted. It never came to much of anything. And the success I had was quickly taken away like that. I mean quickly. It changed in a heartbeat. I had house, I had vehicles, I had this, I had that, I had some money, I wasn't filthy rich. But it changed in a heartbeat. And it can change for anybody. To the young folks in the church, now is the time where you make preparations to start building your house, your life in the Lord. No matter how old we are, we can always build it in the Lord. That's what verse 1 is referring to when it says, unless you build the house, you labor in vain who build it. The last second part of that verse says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman that keeps awake in vain. In old days, they were guards that guarded the city. Today, we could probably associate it with police officers in the natural world out there. But you put it in context of the scripture, our pastor has to keep a watch over his house as a man and over the city, God's kingdom, because we're in it. We're building it. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The kingdom of God is in us. What does every born again person have? Every single one. Nobody else has. The Holy Spirit. Every born again person that is truly born again has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's how God builds his kingdom. Jesus himself says, people will say that he was asked, where's God's kingdom? Where is it at? Where's the sign? Where, there's not a sign. There's not a building. God's building his kingdom with us, in our heart, and through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the first of many brethren. Jesus is the head of that house. Whenever he completes his church, he will present it to the Lord God Almighty, perfect and without blemish. And it'll be awesome. And those, as it says in the book of Revelations, every single church that Jesus wrote the letter to, at the end of it, he says, to those who overcome, there's a certain reward that goes with it. And to those that overcome, will get those rewards. And you'll get to live in that city. Now we're building. And I praise God, I want to be an overcomer. I work and live my life to be an overcomer. Because used to, I worked and lived my life according to what Monty wanted. What the flesh wanted. And you know what I based that on? My flesh and the world. And we speak of this phrase, the world, the world, the world. What is the world? The world is nothing more than everybody else that's not of God and the kingdoms and the things that's out there in this earth. And Satan is the ruler of it because man gave him the authority. And he wants God out of everything. That's what the world means. God is out of the equation. God is not in it. I don't care what it is. If it's of the world and it's based on the world, God is not in it. I don't want to live my life like that. I've lived my life like that. It comes to nothing. Jesus said, I leave you with peace. My peace, not the peace of the world. And every born-again person that receives that knows what I'm talking about. It's something that you can't describe. If you try, the closest we can come to it is this innermost settled feeling. But it goes much deeper than that. And when you build your house in the Lord and you have your house settled and you seek God, and what does seeking God mean? Attend church. Why do we attend church? To learn more about the Word. What have we been learning about the Word? Sister Teresa has been talking for months now about it. From God, and has blessed me. I mean, I have read that passage of Scripture many, many times, but to go through it like she's going through it, as deep as she's going through it, I didn't realize, you know, exactly how things were going in my life until I started looking at it. And then I realized this past week or two, it's a lot more real than you think. Let me point out something to you. Everything where we're at in this environment, in church, points toward what? That right there. Jesus is Lord. You walk out them doors and go to your life in the world out there, what does everything point to? You won't see that. Even if, I mean, you may see it on a sign somewhere. Does your job work to that? Do all of your friends work to this? Do the businesses you attend and buy from and go to work for this? Not all. Very few. That's the difference between the world. They're building their house in vain. And Satan is the deceiver of so many. It breaks my heart. It's like I testified in church a couple of meetings ago. I talked to a young man that was so messed up. He's what, 21? 26. He asked me some questions that just broke my heart. What's it like to be a man? What do I do to be a man? How do I be mature? And I sat there a minute and it kind of caught me off guard. And I said, well, you know, I started down the line of what the world might tell him, you know, you need to act like a man, talk like a man, be responsible. And then I got to thinking, I said, well, the Bible teaches us what to do. So I started quoting Scripture and telling him. His next question was, well, okay, I understand that. I get that. I know who you are, I know where you're from. But how do I do that without having to tie God into it? I said, you can't. I said, now, you can go out here and be successful. You can be a multimillionaire. You can have all that there is to have. You can have friends. You can have everything. But if you ain't got God, you ain't got nothing. I said, all that stuff that you're looking for, you can't find but in one place. And it, I'm going to kind of condense it because I talked to him for 2 hours. And he kept wanting to get away from God. You know what was happening? Satan was right on his shoulders, beating on his head, deceiving him. And had been for a while. He'd been not had lived in a house that had been built unto the Lord. He said he had a dad, but his dad was out helping other people and doing other things, whatever, and didn't take the time to teach him. Now, in my house, I don't have a lot of time, but I teach our sons and our daughter, the first thing that you do with your life is you live it unto God. Make sure you're born again. And I've talked to them all about it to the point that they get aggravated. Yes, I'm born again. Okay, I just want to make sure you know, because nobody knows except you and the Lord. Now, you can see the fruits of what people do that say they're born again. If they're not born again, that'll only last for a season. And it may be a quite a long one. And it may be a short one. It depends on, you know, the person. Some people stick to stuff, even if they're wrong, for too long of a time. But if when it's right and you're truly born again and you have that peace, there ain't nothing to take it away from you, because you've built on the rock. And I teach our boys, you know, I'm not probably the best teacher in the world, but I tell them, the only successful life starts with God. And we bring it over into the church. We'll take this, I'm going to call it an establishment because it's a brick and mortar building. You know, it's a building. We have walls, ceilings, floor. It belongs to God. Now, some people might say I beat it into the ground, but I'm not. Our pastor is a very special man. Sister Teresa, our Sunday school teacher, is a very special woman. Had not been for them building on the house of the Lord, building the city, and I'm going to tie this church to the city of the Lord and not build it in vain, how long do you think this place would be here? There's lots of churches that hang around for a long time, but I've seen lots of churches that's been around for a long time went, shoo. You know how I know? Because I rode by one not long ago, not far outside of Leeds, that had Lifeline Ministry on the top of the door, had kudzu growing over the top of it, and the brick was so old it was falling apart. Now, at one time or another, that church building had a church in it. I don't know the history of it. I'm not going to speak to it. But it's awful odd to me that building is there, no telling how old it is. It's got a sign on it, but there's no sign of life to it, outwardly. As I've said before, there's a building standing up in DeKalb County that's over 100 years old. I don't know if it's grown up or not. It had a Methodist church in it. Long time. I don't know if it's 100 years, but it had a long time. I heard a word of the Lord spoke in that church about wanting the people to change. They were a small congregation, about like this. But the way that the church was ruled and carried out, it was not built on the Lord or God's word. It was built on what man thought. That church is no longer a church. Even though the outside may still look good, the people in the community may keep it up. Because of them, it was a landmark. But the inside was dead. And when God tried to move, nobody wanted to build on the house of the Lord. Therefore, our pastor and his wife, our Sunday school teacher, they decided a long time ago to build in their life, in their ministry, the house of the Lord, and not build in vain. When they did, they set up a pattern and steps of things to come. Did they do it perfectly? No, because we're not all perfect. But they did it enough to please the Lord that they've been here for years now. And guess where each and every one of us is at? Guess what each and every one of us here? And it's not in vain. If there's anybody that's ever come into this church and heard the word from Brother Scott or Sister Teresa and and applied it to their life, really opened their heart and let God work, I guarantee you it wasn't in vain. God's word said, he said himself, I will not speak a word and it go out and not accomplish what I sent it out to do. That means in vain. It's going to accomplish. So I want to thank them. And they're not the only ones. There's others out there. They tell us about ones in their lives. I'm sure some of us have seen some of our lives. I've seen some of mine a long time ago. But the watchman that builds the city, or they that build the city don't build it in vain, and then the watchman don't have to cry out in vain. What does that mean? When the enemy comes, there's somebody there to tell you, hey, look, this is the enemy. Because if you build it in vain, the Lord's not there, you're not going to recognize the enemy. Well, how do we know that? When you try to witness to somebody out in the world, I'm not going to lie, depending on how hard they are in the world and how hard in their heart is, it's sometimes hard to get people to recognize they're a lost and dying sinner. They don't want to hear that. It's not me. I didn't do it. They don't want to hear the word because the word convicts them, and they don't want to hear it. They will harden their heart to it. But I thank God for them. Now, verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, when that's translated over in the Amplified Version, it said, it is vain for you to rise early, to retire late, and to eat the bread of anxious labors. Let's stop right there a minute. The word anxious means uneasiness, nervousness, doubt, and worry. When you're anxious about something, that's what it means. Because you don't know. So what that scripture means on your work, it is not good and it's not right for us to get up early, go to work, work all day long and half the night and come in late, and then worry about what our work is going to be enough for us. Because you know what it does? It robs you of sleep. Gives you anxiety. That's the flesh. That's in the soul. That's in your emotions. You're out of control when that happens. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not anymore, but I could speak as to an expert about that because I was full of it at one time. Oh yes, I trusted the Lord, and I'd go and worry about this and about that and about this and about that. I don't worry much anymore at all, hardly at all. I give it to the Lord. That's what it means when it says in Colossians 3:23 and 24, when it says work as unto the Lord. Because what you do whenever you worry with anxiety, you have let whatever you're anxious about become your idol. When you have an idol, all that means is you have let something or something take the place of God in your life as the source in your life. When it comes to your work, we're talking mostly about finances in our traditional society today. Not always, but mostly. Very few people I know goes to a job and works for free. Even those that's got millions of dollars, they work real hard to try to keep it. But when you do that and it gets to where that takes the place of the source of life that you look to take care of you from God, then that has become your idol. And people might say, because I had a problem with this also. Because at a young age, when my dad becomes sick, I don't know how to say it except I seen where I could step in and do something to help my family because we didn't have nothing. My dad had always been able to work. He provided well for the family. He got born again when he was 21. And at 13 or 14, I wasn't consciously absorbing the word that I was hearing. Now, if I did it subconsciously, I didn't know it. But I just knew that I could go to work and make money and give my mother and dad and help us. And that's what I felt like I needed to do. Now, is that bad? No, it's not bad. But what that did was, from an early age, I've worked. I'm 61 now. You know, do the math. I worked since I was 13 years old. Since I was 15 at a public job. I told April one time, it just seemed like I've been working all my life. It's not a bad thing. But what I was doing, I was letting it get to me. it's good to work, because there's an old saying, you know, devil's workshop's idle hands, well, so is the mind. You ain't got nothing to do to sit around 8 hours and 9, 10 hours, 12 hours a day, and nowadays play on your phone or a video game, or, you know, sit around and talk and kill time and do nothing constructive, especially if you have a family, man, every man, that's wrong. It feels wrong to me. It always has. Now, vacation time don't, but that's a different matter. But Colossians 3 says to work as unto the Lord. What that means is do your job that you're called to do on your public job. What does that mean, called to do? You, when you signed an application or agreed to go to work with a person, for a person, you agreed to do something for a certain amount of money for a certain amount of time. Now, it's odd to me, because I used to be guilty of it too. Oh, I want that job, I want that job, I get on that job, boy, and zoom. I did it at one of the last jobs I had at Walpole. Oh, I got on that job, we had some bad financial things going on, the work went way down, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and we was going to church here, it's 2015, and the Lord led me to Walpole. They work all the time. You work 6 days a week there. I told him, you know, I'm not working on Saturday, last Saturday of the month, because of our giveaway thing. And I pretty much worked all the Saturdays besides that. But it got to the point, I worked at that job so hard that they had Driver of the Month award, which you got so much little extra money that they saved you a parking space right by the door for your big truck and all kinds of stuff. I got it two times within 6 months. Well, I zoomed, boy, I'm getting it. But you know what happened? For long, I didn't let it become my idol, but it come real close. Because all my life was just about that job. That job and this church. Didn't have a whole lot of home life, and it hurt my family some. But I asked the Lord, I finally just said, Lord, I can't do this no more. What can I do? Lord, please let me go to another job. And he gave me another job. He worked me around, built me up to where I'm at now. That I learned to work as unto the Lord. What does that mean? I go and do my job according to what I said I would do and get paid. And if the money's not enough, I have to put that on the Lord. Brother Scotty said that's his problem, because he said he'd take care of me. What does it say in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And by the way, to help Brother Scotty out here, I was studying some this morning, and was it Matthew 6:38 or Luke 6:30, where it's give and men shall be given to you. If you study that out, the last part of that verse says bosom means the pocket inside of a garment that produces a pouch, a billfold, just like he said. I never doubted him, but I never had seen it. That's praise the Lord. So now I work as unto the Lord. I didn't used to sleep real good. I don't sleep real good now sometimes, but it's for a whole lot different reason. I got another thing I'm working on, but it's not because I'm anxious about finances. I have told my boss at work before, when the rain makes things a little bit slow for us, because we haul cement. We haul a lot to places that put it in what they call ready-made trucks to take it out to the jobs. Well, when it rains, nobody can pour cement because it's usually out in the open. And people cancel, and it backs up to us, they cancel on us. So sometimes, and I have said it before, not long ago, I tell my boss, I said, look, because the Lord has worked me up to a job to where I deliver cement whether it rains or not. It don't matter if it's cold, it don't matter if it's hot. Now, it does matter if they get their production of the customer I haul to, but it don't matter about the weather. So I tell my boss, I said, look, you know, if you want to send somebody down there to take the load down there, that's fine with me. I'm not going to drive from, you know, Race Cane about it. Move stuff around a little bit. He said, well, that's nice. I appreciate that. But he said, you run that job, it'll be all right. Okay. So that's what I do to keep me in the right spirit. And when I did, things started turning around on my job. I'm where I'm at now. Is it what you would call perfect? No, but it's a whole lot better than what I used to have. Because I tell my boss now, he asked me, do you want to work Saturday? I said, no, sir. I said, this is my church stuff. The second, I tell him every time, the second and the last Saturday every month. It's my church stuff. Now, the men's meeting, I worked that Saturday, but I worked after we came to the men's meeting, and it wasn't much. I had to do a little bit, not much. But I came and done God's stuff first, and I told them that's what I was going to do. I said, I'm going to come to my men's meeting first. If you still need me to work, I'll come to work. And I prayed and asked the Lord, I said, Lord, don't let that customer run out of cement. But if he had, the Lord take care of it, because I'd been in a lot of trouble. But I wasn't worried about it. That's what it means when he says it is not good, to paraphrase, to rise up early and go to work, work yourself to death, and come home late, and then worry about what you're doing. Is it enough? If you work as unto the Lord, you put God first and build your house in God, even your job will not be in vain. Moving right along now. Verse 3, 4, and 5 is connected together, talking about children. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Behold, children are a heritage and a gift from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed and happy and fortunate is the man whose quiver is filled with them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gatherings at the city gate. Now, the word heritage in that verse says is something that's inherited or an inheritance. Your children are an inheritance from the Lord. To give you an example of what we are to do with our children is what Jesus is doing with the church. They're a gift from God. We are to take them and raise them in the admonition and the word and the ways of the Lord until they're go out on their own. Then we pray for them and trust that everything that we've given them, and it will, because God's word says it will, but we trust that they always make their mind up and use their free will to serve God as they were taught. And in that way, just as Jesus is going to present the church to the Lord, we present our children to the Lord. They are a heritage. Anybody that has kids knows the ups and downs. One day is yay, and the next day is I love them, though. I know sometimes they think that I don't, but I do. They have and are make me one of the proudest people, not as in the vain pride, but being so impressed with them. They do things at home that I'm not really impressed with all the time. And my manner is sometimes I'm pretty strict. I'm right there on top of them. God's word says, you're not going to do this. This is what we're going to do. But they get out away from me. You know what the reports I hear are? They're so well behaved. They're so courteous. They're so respectful. They're good kids. They don't want to hear that. But you know what that is? That's me and their mother, ladies and gentlemen, building our house with our children in the Lord. That's what the rest of the verses mean, that you will not be ashamed. In Proverbs it says, a spoiled child, I'm going to paraphrase, I don't know the exact words, will bring shame to his mother and his father. And what does it mean by spoiled? Now, spoiled don't mean that they get everything they want, but that's one way of doing it. When you give a human being everything that they want, you know what they want? More. You know why? They're living in the flesh. The flesh wants more. It'll never want enough. And I can prove it to you. Anybody in here ever eat so much that it didn't feel good? Don't you raise your hand. That's your flesh, ladies and gentlemen. I'll raise mine too. I've eaten in my lifetime till it made me, I'm talking about physically sick, throwing up sick. That's not good. That's a sin. That's called gluttony. Now, I'm not saying what y'all did was. Y'all get with the Lord on that. But it was the flesh working. We all have to eat. That's how we maintain the body that we live in. But when you eat so much that it don't feel good, it don't make sense, does it? What's the first thing you do? Oh, man, I wish I hadn't ate so much. I wish I hadn't drank so much of that. We'll go a little another step further. I wish I hadn't run. I wish I hadn't stayed outside in the sun so long and got sunburned. That's just a few examples. That's your flesh. And I used to be one of the world's worst. I used to think, before I got born again, logically. That was the number one thing in my mind. Logic, logic, logic. Satan was deceiving me. Because everything in the spiritual world don't seem logical. It is supernatural. And it is true. In God's word. And in God's ways. But it don't always seem logical to this. And to this. So that's the reason we have Romans 12, 1 and 2 that tells us to renew our mind. Because our spirit was renewed when we were born again. We indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Now we're living our life trying what we should be doing, living our life, building it in the Lord so we don't build in vain, so we don't slip behind. And as I said, you younger folks, it's odd to me because I try not to preach so hard at my, be too strict to my sons, because I remember when I was their age, I never once thought my daddy was didn't know anything. I always thought he didn't want me to do anything. You know, he didn't want me to have no fun. That's what I thought. I loved and respected my daddy, and he set that in me real quick when I was a young child, because I had a pretty headstrong will and a big mouth. My daddy's the one that corrected that. So I learned to respect him, not to backtalk him, when I was probably before I was ever 10 years old. But I always thought in the back of my mind, man, he don't ever want me to have no fun. You know what fun leads to? Trouble. Heartache. Not all of it. Fun without God. Out there in this world, there is nothing. Absolutely, without a doubt, nothing that will lead you in the way you need to go according to God's word. And if it appears that it is, it's only Satan trying to deceive you to get you to fall into the pit he's making for you. I've been there and did that. And that's the reason I tell our boys, I've got boys at home now, of course we had Destiny, and we got a grandchild on the way. I can't hardly wait for that. But yeah, you go home and tell Mom and Dad they need to go to church. That's what I'm going to do. And I done told them all, I said, look, when y'all get out away from us, and I prayed it over them, that, you know, it's not that I don't love them, won't be mean to them, but I prayed and I told the Lord, if they get away from you, I want you to make their life miserable. And it's not because I want anything bad to happen to them. It's because I love them so much. I know what's out there that can hurt them. And when you're young, I remember when I was young, that's not that bad. I remember my daddy telling me that one of the first examples said, boy, you need to pick different people to be friends with because one day you're going to be in bad trouble with the law. But I didn't pick good friends. I like bad people to hang around with. He told me that when I was about 11 years old. When I was 21 years old, I was in trouble with the law because I didn't change. I didn't pick good friends to hang out with. I picked people that wanted to drink, go to bars, raise Cain in a car, run from the law, and the next thing you know, the law caught me. It's not fun. I had to pay the penalty for that. To this day, on my record, I have a felony offense. And I'm not proud of it at all. All I had to do was just listen to what my daddy told me. You know, get off that path and go a little bit better from bad to good, at least would have kept that probably from happening. But if you go all the way to good and go with the Lord, you ain't got to worry about that. Now, and it's not just with the young folks. the evils that's out there in this world can sometimes surprises me. I've been hooked on drugs in my lifetime, really bad for about a year. There's a space in my life for 35, 40 days I don't remember. I have no idea what I did, and some of the things I was told that I did, I don't believe I did them. Had I been caught then, I'd still be in prison. But anyway, not proud of that either. My point is, all I had to do was remember what my daddy and my mama taught me. My daddy especially. And after he got back right with the Lord, he prayed for me, and I know he did. He told me he did, and I believed him. Because I know his prayer, because the Bible says the prayer of a fervent man availeth much. And I know he was fervent about praying for his kids. And I know his prayer helped me make my decisions to where I got my life turned around and got back right with the Lord. Because had I not, I was headed down another bad road. And the evils that's out there in this world, take drugs for instance. What's the oldest person you've seen that's been affected by using these evil drugs that's out there today? It ain't just teenagers and young folks. It's not just people in their 30s and 40s. It gets all the way up into almost the elderly age. Now, I'm not saying all this to discourage anybody. I'm saying it all because that's what's out there in the world. But when we come in here to our world, the world that we carry around inside of us each and every day through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have that to fight against the enemy that's tried to push that into our lives. Young folks, you have that if you will rely on it to fight against the enemy that's going to try to push it into your life. You say, well, I'll never do drugs. That's good. You might not. But if you don't do that and you've got the stand and the effort inside of you to stand against that, Satan is going to keep throwing things at you until he finds something you're weak about. That's where you need to learn where you need to stand. Find your weakness, and that's where we all need to build the house of the Lord. I know mine, and I build on it, and I have to keep building on it because Satan knows it too. And this ain't part of my message. I'm going to throw another seed out there. We are wondrously made. God's word says so. The human body, the flesh, even though we live in it, in this world, God gave it to us to help us. Did you know everything that you do that does not help your human body is not good for you, and God don't like it? It don't matter if it's drugs, hurting yourself, overeating, overworking. You can do that too much. God gave us this body to help us live in this world. In the beginning, it was different. Man turned rule over to Satan. Sin entered to the world got cursed. So now we have this body to live in. But it's still wondrously made to fight against all the wiles of the devil. All we have to do is put it in its place. Where is its place? Last place, the flesh. If you had to put your threefold makings up, your spirit, your soul, and your body in perspective, put spirit first. Because that's where you talk to God. That's where God talks to us. When you put that first, you've got an open channel to God. How do you do that? You stay close to God. Prayer, His Word, fasting, attending church. Put your soul next because your emotions, sometimes you need them to help you. And your spirit also needs somebody to help him. Put your flesh last because your flesh is never going to help your spirit. Never. The flesh is of this world. What is this world? This world wants God out of everything. But the soul will help the spirit. And the spirit will help the soul. And the flesh has to tag along just because it ain't got no other reason, because it has to. Because you tell it to. And when you do all of that, you're building not in vain. You're building for successful results. You're raising your family. You're raising yourself, so to speak, up for successful results in the Lord. And all of this stuff that we're hearing from Sister Teresa, it seems like it's over and it's over and it's over. I'm enjoying it. I love it. It is blessing me like you just would not believe. In the beginning, I thought, okay, I didn't really say we're going to hear this again. But then I opened up my heart because I seen a prayer in the Bible, and I didn't write it down. Lord, help me to have a willing heart and open ears. And I prayed that. When I started praying that, things started coming from the Lord. You know what happens when you get something from the Lord? You want happiness? You want peace? You get it from the Lord, you won't want nothing else. This world is nothing. Nothing. I mean, I'm going to live here as long as the Lord says I have to, but this is not my place. Oh, Lord. I'm over about a couple minutes. I'm sorry. Anybody got anything they like?